I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, HYPERTHETICAL.
Caitlin Brodnick.
And I'm Chelsea Whitelock.
And we love scams! Yay! Hi guys, we love scams, we love you. Welcome to another episode of Scammo Podcast with my quarantine wife.
That is true. We were definitely, for sure, family.
Yes.
I mean, are.
Are. Guys, I'm so excited. We have Chelsea with us today. Chelsea is one of my closest friends in the world. We became even closer, spent every day together during COVID. And then I think I was saying on this podcast, like, the listeners know, like, people have heard me talk about Chelsea and Sully. Like, they've heard me talk about our little homeschooling thing we had to do when our kids were 2 and 3. And so Chelsea, I finally got her onto my podcast. I want her to go on forever. Now, she's not a fan of scams for great reasons, because scams fuck things up, but she's a fan of Muppets.
That is true. The biggest.
And so we're doing the summer of scam movies we're doing is The Great Muppet Caper.
Are capers scams?
Yeah.
Burglaries, scams.
Yeah, but they're also like, okay, so scams, a lot of, because we go back and forth with that. We're like, is just a flat out robbery a scam? Like, no, when you're just saying, like, you know, when you barge in, guns a-blazing, say, like, hold up, it's the police, like, you know, not the police, whatever it is, you know, we're taking over this place. That's a robbery. But yeah, like a high-class burglary.
Yeah, a jewel heist.
A jewel heist.
From within the family. That's
it's
a scam.
So scammy. And this also, we realized that, so we watched The Great Muppet Caper, and Chelsea and I also just watched it together.
We did.
And we realized that, like, that was the peak of our upbringing. Like, there was so much of my life.
Everything we learned about comedy, we learned about from the Muppets.
From the Muppets. 80s. Yes. My God, the comedic timing. So it was really just from, like, a couple old Jewish men making funny voices, like, solidified Miss Piggy in our lives.
Yes. Miss Piggy is the ultimate icon for all of us.
All of us.
Millennial feminist women.
To this day. Mm-hmm. To on and on. So what was your favorite part of the movie?
Oh, man. How do you pick a favorite part?
I know.
Part?
Okay, so you could start at the beginning.
I think I'm just tempted to say all of the musical numbers.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, in addition to
Chelsea is a musical theater
I do musical theater, or did.
You do.
I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. So we'll see if we stick with that or not.
We'll see. No, Chelsea's incredible. She toured with Annie. She did musical theater. She's doing it. She met her husband on tour. She's a performer, actress, singer, dancer, triple threat.
You know it.
Which is really fun.
When's the last time I took a dance class?
It doesn't matter.
Can I still call myself a triple threat?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We're all calling it. Because no one else is taking dance classes.
Nope.
You don't have to blame it on having a child. Blame it on COVID.
You can blame it on all of it.
That's
blame
it on all of it. Blame it on all of it. Oh my
God. The world's falling apart. It's
fine. The world's falling apart. Oh, speaking of which, I went through a tiny mini breakdown and dyed my hair platinum blonde.
And it's so cute.
Chelsea was the first one to notice on Instagram. She's like, did you do it? Because I've been talking about wanting to dye my hair. There's something about owning your presence as a performer. Like, I always had very neutral hair in case I got cast at anything or if I got a callback for something, then I'd always be able to have the same kind of hair, the same look in case they needed me. And then I was like, the world's falling apart. I'm doing the blonde that I've always wanted to do.
See, I did the opposite because I was like, when I see myself in my head, I see like big blonde hair.
Yeah.
And I have not had blonde hair since I went a little postal and did the mid-quarantine complete head shave.
Yeah, I love it. She did it, guys. She just was like, I'm shaving all the hair off. And that was
actually, I made my husband do it. And he was like, you need to think about this. Your hair is like 90, like you always say that your hair is 90% of your identity.
It's true.
Which
isn't true,
but I really did feel that as like a blonde woman. I felt like my entire identity tied up in it because all my heroes were like Miss Piggy, Elle Woods, Vanna White.
Yes.
What am I going to do?
Yes, all those Playboy characters, and blonde.
Oh. Dolly Parton, come on.
Yes. The thing, too, is that, like, hair doesn't have to be your identity, but then when you do something, like, a very iconic type of hair, or if you go for a very distinct red or something, or a purple that you've had for years, then it becomes a part of your look and a part of, like, your style. And so that's when you were like, we're done with it.
Yeah.
How did you feel after you took it all off?
Oh, it was very liberating.
Yeah.
And like, I just needed so much less product and time to get ready. It was fun. But also like now I'm like, oh, I wish I would have done it earlier in quarantine. So my hair would be longer now. I'm definitely going back blonde at some point. When I saw Katie's hair, I was like, damn it, it looks good.
Now that's not why you're listening to this podcast.
Yes. We're going to talk about hair for an hour.
No, we're talking about the Great Muppet Keeper. There were so many scams in this movie. I wrote them all down.
Oh, that's good.
There were so many going on. So this movie to me, and Alan said, you can't talk about Miss Piggy and Kermit without admitting that, like, that's our relationship.
That's true.
That Alan's Kermit, a journalist, and I'm Miss Piggy, a con artist, you know, who wants to be famous.
And a high fashion model.
Yes. I wish I was a high fashion model, but I do sort of look like, you know, a short pig. And that's who we are. That's who we are. You
At
know?
Least you're blonde now.
At least.
So you're closer
to it.
So
I'm closer to her. Okay. So it starts with Kermit and what's the Fozzie Bear?
Kermit? Yeah,
they go into England. They're dropped
off.
Scam number one.
They're not twins.
They're not twins. They decide to go to England. Scam number two, it's not a real flight. They just throw Muppets off the plane. They don't land. So, like, your stop off in England is really just, like, open door.
Yeah, you don't get, like, nuts in, like, fifth class or whatever it is they say.
You're with, like, weird rodents, and then you get dropped off the plane. And then they decide that they're going to investigate a recent jewel heist. And the woman who constantly gets her jewels stolen is Lady Holiday.
Played by the lovely Diana Riggs.
Ugh. She was also, her character was like the epicenter of elegance to me. The way she spoke, the way she moved, her posture.
When she's like the straight man of the movie, but in doing so, she's maybe the funniest one of all of
Exquisite.
Them.
Exquisite.
Because much like Michael Caine in the Muppets, in the Muppet Christmas Carol, if you are playing the scene as if you are talking to real actors and these stakes are really high and very real, it just makes it all the more absurd.
It's genius. So good. Yes, it's so good. And so she is this fancy fashion designer from a very rich family, and she's fabulous, and she has an incredible... She seems like a horrible boss and quite the bitch, but also the kind of woman you wanted to be in the 80s. You know, like, also, like, fine.
The definition of girl boss.
Yes. But, yeah, and in the 80s, she would insult everyone who worked for her, and everybody waited on her hand and foot, and that was what you wanted to be.
And that's also probably why they wanted to rob her.
Yes. So
the moral of the story is, if you're a nice boss, your employees might not rob you.
You might, but might not.
But they also
But at the Happiness Hotel, everyone was nice, and that place was a trash heap.
That's true.
You know, with horrible Murphy beds. So... Okay, so Miss Piggy comes in. She wants to be a fashion model, And the
her portfolio is exquisite.
Is exquisite. Black and white photos of a subtle change of the eyeball, you know, eyebrow. And they say,
it's just a change of costume.
Yeah, oh yeah, change of costume. Yeah, so funny. And then Lady Holiday says, like, well, you obviously can't be a fashion model. You can be a secretary. And,
met with jubilation.
Just the get best the, comedic timing.
The classic Muppet sort of just flailing about with excitement. Just,
yeah. Yeah. And it's like, that's me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my essence. I saw it. It was so great. So then as she's there as the secretary, Kermit comes in to interview Lady Holiday. But it turns out it's Miss Piggy. And right away, Miss Piggy lies to him.
Scam number two.
Scam.
Probably right. Like four by now, really.
Yeah, real. There's a couple scams in there. But she just comes in real strong, like, yeah, I'm Lady Holiday. And falls into a trash can, you know, and is the damsel in distress. Classic. And she says she's going to meet Kermit at
17 Highbrow Street.
Yeah, he said, you probably live at someplace like Highbrow Street. She said, that's it. And so they're trying to figure out, it's such a funny scene, where they live, what time to meet. And they're just completely in love.
Completely in love. And like when Kermit's just there, he's just leaning against the doorframe, smitten.
And that's all you want in life. You just want someone to lean against the doorframe, stare at you from afar while you're talking to yourself. Yeah. While you're talking to yourself. Like Miss Piggy was in her own dream world. And he loved that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we need in partners. So, the Lady Holiday did say, watch out for her brother before she left. Lady Holiday told Miss Piggy, you can't trust my brother. He's used the family credit cards. He does nothing on his own.
He's a degenerate.
Yes, he's lost his money since college. And something about her famous baseball diamond. She mentioned it. It's a diamond called the baseball diamond.
Yeah, I think she says, I wouldn't be surprised if the thief goes after my baseball diamond next.
Right, so she doesn't know who the thief is. We know it's Charles Grodin.
Yes.
Right, we already know that. Yeah,
you know that. You learned that in the opening number.
Real fast. And you know that her models are also in it with Charles Grodin. Her fashion models are his little...
Carla, Marla, and Darla.
Yeah, great job. Good job, you know that. I had
with
no idea.
With the looks.
So gorgeous. I'm obsessed.
And like the 80s makeup, the amount of just like cheekbone everything. Blush. Oh.
You know, that's the thing. If I do eye makeup and lip makeup, I'm like, I look like an 80s icon. Like it was like this 90s where you could have pencil thin eyeliner and like pencil thin eyebrows. And then the 2000s where it was like a white blush lip, like the lip was like nude and you looked like you were dying or freezing cold. And then luckily it's come back to like lots of makeup, which is I love.
Yeah.
We all just want to look like Miss Piggy.
The 80s excess is...
That's it.
Alive and well.
That's it.
Sure. I mean, I always used to live like... When I open the closet in the morning, it's like, you know, you have a closet full of clothes and nothing to wear. It's like, none of these clothes represent who I want to dress up as today.
Today, yes.
I'm like, and I like at some point, it's like that old adage, you know, dress for the job you... want, not the job you have. And I was like, if I want to dress in a costume every day, what does that mean about me? Oh, okay. I'm an actress.
You are an actress. I want to dress for like the mental state I wish.
Oh, sure.
Like, are you happy and content?
Just like sunshine and rainbows all over there.
Yeah. Stable and financially secure. That's what I want to dress as. Okay. So where are we? Okay. So now Kermit thinks that Miss Piggy is Lady Holiday and is so excited.
But we also know that Kermit's trying to, like, impress her a little bit. He's putting on the duds. He's doing the number. He's trying to act a little more fancy than he is,
right.
too.
Right, he's scamming as well. And he goes back to they're staying at the Highway Hotel.
Happiness Hotel.
Happiness Hotel. Which
dump.
Pure dump.
Full of Muppets. I would live there in a second.
Yeah, but terrified of Murphy Betts. I was like, every Murphy Betts going to kill me. I never trusted Murphy
Betts. I was
going
to say, even though none of them died in the Murphy Betts, they all just, like, went up in it.
And squished. But I was like, I don't think I'd make it out of that. You know, as being a person and not a Muppet, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, they're so bendable. So he goes back. All of his friends are dressing him up for the date that then we find that they are eventually all going on. His friends do join him. But he meets, so Miss Piggy meets Kermit at 17 Highbrow Street.
Which is where we get our cameo from John Cleese.
So good. And the curtains, guys, I don't know if you guys remember, the curtains were that like wavy 1920s curtain that
very
was like,
like drapey.
And oh my God, as a child, I was like, that's glam. If I could ever have curtains like that,
that is the definition of fancy
pants. That's it. I was like, that's Miss Fancy Pants. And so Piggy is breaking into the house so that Kermit can ring the doorbell and think that it's her house. And the joke is that, like, John Cleese and his partner are so incredibly wealthy. nothing matters.
It's like, oh, there's a pig on the drain pipe.
Yeah, it was so good. He did such a good job. Yeah. And she's freaking out and falling in and falling downstairs.
Just physical comedy at its finest.
Perfect physical comedy. Just if our buddies had no bones, you know, we would just really be able to make those moves happen.
Yeah.
But actually, I've still tried to make those moves happen. Yeah, you still try to fling your body at
hurts us a little more.
Stairs.
Our recovery time is longer.
Yeah. Okay, so John Calise then tells them where to go for dinner.
It's a supper club and not a restaurant.
Yes, and it's like dancing. And so Kermit's there with his buddies and Miss Piggy. And the dinner's too expensive. Kermit can't afford it. Miss Piggy can't afford it. That's another scam that we're just waiting to happen. But they don't even get to the dinner because we meet Charles Grodin, who is the actual Miss Holiday's brother.
And the jewel thief.
And the jewel thief. And he is such a hot stud. My God, he is so sexy.
And he is so sexually attracted to Miss Piggy.
which is really when you want to be Miss Piggy the most. I mean, his beeline for Miss Piggy, that sexual energy. As a child, I was like, that's what you want. you want a predator.
It's a little alarming, but also extremely sexy.
And like, complimentary.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not just like, I'm going to get you. It's like, you are a rapture of beauty, and you're taking my life over, and I can't live without you. And it's like, that's what, that genuinely, as me, I want people to say that to me.
Don't worry, Caitlin. You're ravishing.
Thank
I want you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so Charles Grodin goes crazy over her, is distracted by her. And that night, the models come in, his psychic models come in through the back door because...
The accomplices in crime.
Yeah, so this is the big crime guy. So Charles Grodin, as the brother, decided that at this dinner with the real Lady Holiday, that somehow they're being... Miss Piggy is able to avoid Kermit meeting real Lady Holiday right now. They're at competing tables, but they're there at the same night.
Yeah, they get through the dance number just fine.
Just fine. Beautiful dance number, beautiful gowns. That's
yes.
A beautiful chandelier.
Oh, yes. Art Deco, just 80s eleganza.
Elegance, just like chiffon to the nines. It's so
And like
beautiful.
Ostrich feathers on Miss Piggy.
That was really like when ostrich feathers looked great.
Oh, yeah.
And they were pastels. I mean, guys, it was just such a feast for your eyes. And really, so this was made up by a bunch of costumers making fun of Muppets. But as a child, I was like, this is it.
But they weren't making fun of Muppets. No. They were making fun of the 80s.
Rich, yes,
yeah.
Yes. I loved it so much. So... The Charles Grodin scam is he goes into the back where the kitchen exit is, the back entrance. He trips the lock so that it's easy to be entered. And then his accomplices, the models that work for Lady Holiday during the day, are dressed in all black, fancy as hell, get out.
Fierce. All of their costumes are so fierce.
Gorgeous. They come in through the kitchen door. Nobody bats an eye. Just these beautiful men coming out of the kitchen.
And not subtle.
Not subtle.
And they're, we're about to rob the place kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, very slinking around. There's like actually like mirrors in the place where you see them from multiple angles. Like it's very clear that these ladies are up to no good. The lights go out. The necklace is stolen. And
the real Lady Holiday freaks out.
Yes.
And everybody goes to her. That's where we learn that Miss Piggy is not Lady Holiday.
Yes, that's revealed. Also, during this time, Charles Grodin is so entranced with Lady Holiday's necklace, his sister's necklace, that he looks like he's about to, like, lick her breast. Like, he's so close to her, and he's, like, breathing on the necklace that, as a kid, I was like, that's hot. Like, I
didn't he's like predatory on every level. He's, like, predatory for jewels. He just wants things.
I didn't think it was, like, anything weird. I'm like, oh, they're brother and sister. I forgot they were brother and sister, and I was like... He's so in love with everyone.
Well, also, she's extremely British, and he doesn't have an accent. You're like, how are they related?
Yeah, that's not real. Yeah. Anyway, so
I only just now thought of that.
Yeah, me too.
After seeing it several
hundreds of times.
Hundreds of times,
of our years. So the lights go out. They come back on. Lady Holiday screams. Everyone says, oh, my God, Lady Holiday. And then Kermit, being the investigative reporter he is, finally realizes this pig is not Lady Holiday.
This stunning pig specimen.
Yes, stunning woman in heels is not who we thought she was. So they leave, the whole thing's over.
They think they've caught the guy because they got him on camera.
Right. This whole time, Gonzo is taking pictures of women's legs, but it's actually their kneecaps. Like, you think Gonzo's a creep.
He's doing a think piece on kneecaps.
Yeah, kneecaps. But he's taking
a photographic essay, if you will.
Yeah. And it's funny because at first you're like, oh, what a creep. But it's really interested in kneecaps.
Oh, but yeah, that's when he finds out that they're going to go rob the baseball diamond from the Mallory Gallery at 4 o'clock on Tuesday or whatever.
I don't think he knows it's him yet. He doesn't know who Charles Grodin is yet.
Yeah, he doesn't realize it's Nikki.
Yes, the character. Brother. Yeah. So, but he's been taking pictures on his camera. And when the jewels were stolen from Lady Holiday at that dinner, he snapped a picture right then. So he actually got it on film. So the boys all go back to their Happiness Hotel.
In the community bathroom at the Happiness Hotel.
Yeah.
They've made a dark room to develop the film.
To develop their film, classic film. And at that point was when I realized I wanted to be a photographer. This movie really changed my life. I was like, chemicals and dipping? That's so fun.
And like fierce red lighting.
Red lighting, yes. And like, you can't go into this room because something's happening. I don't know. It was dangerous, but also just developing film. So for me, that was like the level of danger.
Well, but the door opens, it ruins the film.
Right.
The stakes are high. The drama is real.
It's so real. The Muppets open. So they see that it's Charles Grodin.
Yes.
The Muppet, Kermit, Fozzie.
Kermit, Fozzie,
and Gonzo all see that it's Charles Grodin who stole the jewels. As they're holding the picture in the dark room, the Muppets burst open and it ruins the negative and they've lost their evidence. So
no
now
evidence.
They're trying to find a way that they can get him in person.
Yes.
Okay. So then cut to a fashion show with Lady Holiday, which...
Oh, the most amazing fashion
show. Transforms... It's what is glamour.
Well, and if you also think back to like the old Hollywood movies, like in Singing in the Rain,
yes.
And like, I don't, they're all like movies
Funny
from that
face.
Era.
Remember Funny Face?
Funny Face, yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And they all had these like elaborate fashion moments.
Beautiful.
With like, for no reason.
Yards of fabric,
colors that were just beautiful. It's very that.
Yes. And it's like, it's this idea of like, okay, you have a beautiful pastel dress and the dress doesn't end with you because you have some disheveled seamstress running after you with like yards and yards of fabric. Mm-hmm. Like all of these things involved. The room was decorated in fabric. Like the dress lived on in these scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Over and
it's
over
gorgeous.
Again. Oh, my God. It was so pretty.
And pastels and gorgeous.
Reminds me of my mom's 70s, for my Aunt Kathy's wedding, she wore this 70s bridesmaid's dress that was a beautiful chiffon print that I'd never seen before. And I used to wear it all the time. Of course, couldn't fit into it. It was falling in it. But it was just this idea of like a organza and chiffon and just luxury.
Oh, so much luxury.
And that's what I want. I want like an accordion luxury collar.
Oh, yeah.
And now that I have this hair, I'm going to do it, you know?
Why not?
Why not?
If you can't be a frilly fashion icon like Miss Piggy, who can you be?
So the fashion show is starting and Piggy is there. She's under Lady Holiday's good graces.
Yeah, she's like being a little seamstress. She looks like you're a sensible wardrobe lady.
Yes, she has like a tape measure around her shoulder. She's doing stuff.
She's got a sensible pony, hair's back.
All business.
And you never see Piggy with her hair.
You never see Piggy in a pony.
No, she's always got her Elle Woods luscious blonde
big
locks.
Curls and like heat
unless it was Great Muppet Caper or no, Muppet Take Manhattan when she had her perm because that was like peak 80s
also. Oh, that's
also.
Great. That's great. I mean, you know, Chelsea is a Muppet expert. I didn't mention that. I know you love them, but you are quite the expert.
It's because I just love them so much.
I know, but you know everyone. You know everyone. You know every reference. Your dog's name's Gonzo.
No, my dog's name is Bonzo.
Bonzo, but we call him Gonzo.
Yeah.
Your son named his butterfly Gonzo.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had butterflies at school. And also, I'm just going to say this because they had the best butterfly names. The butterflies' names at school were Emily, Brian, Rosie, and Gonzo. Like, just kids should name everything.
They should name everything. I fucking love them.
I think Brian is my favorite name.
Though. Brian is great.
Just because, like, so human.
So stable.
And so mundane.
So, such a butterfly name. Like,
yep.
Really? Like, more butterflies should be called Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Now, next time you see your friend Brian, be like, were you a butterfly in a past life in a classroom? Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. We don't know, Brian. Okay, so.
Anyway.
Getting back.
Fashion show.
So they're in these drapery gowns, which really, when you look at the fashion, it's just gathered fabric in a tube top that flows to the ground. And that, I love it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I mean, some of them have some structure. It looks like there's going to be some corseting involved.
Some corseting.
Some are like very tunic style, very caftan.
God, it was beautiful. And so Lady Holiday is insulting all of her models, telling people they look like barn animals. You're like, they, you know, stop chewing gum. Your false eyelashes are falling out. Just really being the powerhouse she is.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's her name from the Devil Wears Prada?
Oh, yeah, that one.
Or definitely like the Anna Wintour of her time. But who's the fake one? Miranda.
So they're doing the fashion show. It's going beautifully.
Beautifully.
So gorgeous. I think, is Charles Grodin in the fashion show? Is he watching?
He's there.
No, he's in the back.
Because he's, I think, supposed to, like, technically work for whatever the design company is, the house.
Working with her, yeah, his sister. But he falls in love with Miss Piggy hard.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like... It.
But he knows that he has to frame her for this jewel robbery or they'll never get away with it.
Yes, and the way he talks about how fascinated he is with her is just classic Charles Grodin. Like, he does it such a good job.
Yeah.
His, like, obsession and lust and, but admiration. He's definitely a predator and creepy, but it's because he adores her so much, which I'm not making excuses.
Yes.
Which is a problem for a whole generation of men. But his love for her is so real and so genuine.
I was going to say, and not even just love. There's lust.
Lust.
And you see it. And that acting is just chef's kiss.
Because
you're like, this man is in love with this pig puppet.
Yes. Behind that is a person with his hand stuck up a puppet. And his acting is so good that as a child, I was like, that's love.
That's hot.
That's hot. That's hot. So you realize that Miss Piggy leaves to go help with the dresses. And Charles Grodin has a breakdown with his model, Thieves. And he says, I know we have to do this, but I don't want to do this to her. I love her. I'm so crazy about her. But I know we have to frame her. So you're ready for Miss Piggy at some point to get framed for something. So then the fashion show happens and...
One of the models trips and goes down. Classic showgirl style. I mean, perfect. I guess not showgirls because nobody... It's a fake trip.
Yeah.
She's doing it to herself. There's no marbles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Fake trip. And then
just acting.
Miss Piggy asks if she's okay. And they said, you need to take your place. And immediately she drops the model's head on the floor. And it's like the funniest moment.
And like looks at the camera with an open mouth smile.
It's amazing comedic timing. Really, so much of my life was made from this movie.
Absolutely.
So then.
Well, because here's the thing with Muppet Comedy. They will put in any joke, no matter how stupid. Mm. And like with the signs at the end when they're like, oh, we're still not there yet. They just if it's a joke, even if it's not very funny, we're putting it in. And because of that, it will be funny.
Okay, so then he says, Miss Piggy, we need you to be the swimsuit model. And Chelsea, you've said, why hasn't Drag Race done this costume?
This costume is gorgeous. It's a cupcake liner.
An accordion chiffon in like a sequined silver bodysuit bikini thing.
Like a 1920s style, like, bathing mm-hmm. suit, though, like very like kind of like drop waist, but one piece with a little brooch on the top.
Yes.
And this epic robe.
And she has these silver heels that she wears throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the dream sequence that really...
The Esther Williams water ballet dream sequence.
Exquisite. Which stunning. I repeated over and over again as a kid in the water. Anytime we went to the pool, I was like, I need some time by myself because I'm dancing like Miss Piggy.
Yeah. Well, and like Miss Piggy's hair in this, the underwater
flipping glow up. Her hair into that. Like, this plus Little Mermaid was why I was just in the water the most of my childhood.
Oh, for sure.
I was just like, this is how to be elegant is to be submerged in a tank of water. Mm-hmm. You know, that's it. So Miss Piggy is dancing. She's dancing in her clothes. All these, I couldn't get over.
And like her chonky legs.
Oh.
Just thick thighs saves lives.
Just such great pulpies.
Oh, she's the best. She's body positivity before it was a movement.
Yeah, she's iconic. Now, I remember as a kid being shocked that makeup could stay underwater. And then I was like, I've got to know more about this makeup thing. Because her makeup's not moving. She's a Muppet, but like the other
synchronized swimmers
looked gorgeous.
Yeah, well, like there's a certain type of makeup you had to use for that. Might have been actual grease paint. I don't know.
Yeah, it might have been lead poisoning, but it looked great.
It did. I know that we have to like go back and investigate the...
Are they dead? Yeah.
Did that kill them?
Did they survive? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So then Charles Grodin and... So there's a song in this dream sequence. She's singing a song and Charles Grodin and Kermit are singing and they have these little cameos where they look like in these little ovals and they're singing to her. She's floating in the water.
Very operatic. Every day, yes. Miss Piggy.
Keep going.
That's all I got.
Okay. Oh, you're so good.
But it's just more and more. He just sings the words, Miss Piggy. Over and over.
Yes,
that's a pretty solid impression. I'm proud
of
that.
It's really good.
I should be a baritone.
You'd be whatever the fuck you want to be. So then it turns out she's rudely awakened because she fell into the fountain.
Yes, this was all a dream.
It was all a dream. But it was a dream that was incredibly aspirational for me. I was like, I need to find gowns. I need to find a liquid, you know, I can swim in, and I need to find men to fight over me, you know?
Yeah.
That was it.
But you really just give me the water.
Give me the water. Yeah. So Charles Grodin runs out to save Miss Piggy after she falls into the water. He puts a coat around her. In the coat, he slips the necklace he stole the previous night.
Minus the diamonds. They've taken all the diamonds out.
The diamonds are missing.
So when Miss Piggy pulls it out of her pocket and says, I don't think this belongs to me, they're like, oh, shit, Miss Piggy did it.
Yes, and everyone's mad at her. They take her away, and Charles Grodin is like, oh! He does this like wailing.
He does, it's good.
So good.
He's so conflicted.
So conflicted. He's just sobbing. He's also taking pictures this whole time too, which is wonderful.
He's a great,
great
investigative reporter.
Yeah.
Photographer?
Great. I mean, that's
a lot of titles. I don't know.
And it's not what we are. It's not what we come from.
Yeah.
So we recognize, though, that he's doing great at his job.
He's doing great.
Yeah, he's really, really spectacular. They go to the Mallory Gallery, which is, the set is basically like a castle, which to me, I was like, that's the most beautiful place I've ever seen.
I was going to say, I think we missed one scene where Kermit has to do another scam, and he's scamming the popo because he's going to go pretend to be Miss Piggy's lawyer. You might have gone to the bathroom during this part.
No. Yes, you're right. Okay, so Kermit... Miss Piggy's in the slammer. They say, Piggy, your lawyer's coming. And it was Kermit, and he lied.
He totally lied
for
her.
He totally did. That was such a good lie.
He's got his little, like, fake mustache on. They have a little kissy scene. The mustache ends up on Piggy.
Oh, yes.
He gets, like, the bar marks on his face. It's very cute.
It's so cute. That's what love is, you know? And that's why I love my marriage. You know, we're exactly the same.
Because he would come visit you in the slammer.
He would.
He would kiss you with his mustache.
Yeah. Definitely kiss me in a slammer. So then we're at the Mallory Gallery, and okay, now we're fast forward to the night of the robbery where they're trying to get the baseball diamonds. Now, what I also found fascinating as a child, and even now, the gear, the James Bond tech of it all. Like, Charles Grodin and his three models are in a
and the all-black cat suits.
Ugh, it's so hot and so sexy and so criminal.
If you're gonna commit a robbery,
look good. You gotta
full cat suit or get out of here.
Give me that eyeliner, you know?
Yeah.
They had some chains that weren't even useful, you know, some like belts that didn't need to be
and like
there.
It all looked like a vaguely fetish wear. It was all very like black and silver and chains.
It's so sexy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They looked great. And it was like, wow, if this is an advertisement for being a burglar, I don't know what it is, you know? Yeah.
Well, they all like, I guess they look like Bond girls, even though the Bond girls were usually good guys. I don't know. Which is funny because Diana, who plays Lady Holiday, was a Bond girl. Maybe the even original one. I don't know.
She's so freaking hot.
She was also Lady Tyrell in Game of Thrones, which is my favorite thing. She only plays ladies.
Ladies.
Lady Tyrell,
range.
Lady Holiday.
I mean, the acting, like she genuinely talks to a Muppet with such conviction. And then in Game of Thrones, she's murdering people. It's beautiful. She's beautiful.
Oh, she was the best character on that show.
The best. And also, every time she was in a scene, in both movies, you just, like, stopped and you watched her. And you said, like, well, what should I be witnessing now? Like, she tells you, hold on, I'm showing you
so smart.
The scene.
And so stunning.
So stunning. Oh, God. If only I wasn't so squirrely. And this is embarrassing. Whenever there's a scene that I don't understand, and Chelsea has read so many scenes with me for auditions, if I don't really get what the character's saying, or there's something where I'm just like, I don't really agree with it, I say it really fast. And it doesn't mean that it's clear or anything. And we'll be doing takes. And I'm
just
like,
get through it.
Just get through it. And I'm like, Chelsea, I can't use that one. Because I say it really fast. It looks, it's not even, there's no way am I hiding that I don't get it. It does look like a child lying through her teeth or like trying to like hide a book report. Like, if I don't know it, I just say it super fast to get it over. And, you know, she doesn't do that. And that's why she's an amazing actress.
I was gonna say, she slows it down and just, you know exactly what she's saying. And, you know, she means it. She understands everything. She's so smart.
She's so smart. She's never rushing her lines.
Yeah. Okay. Or even if she isn't, the characters she plays are. So I just believe that she had to have been the smartest.
She's on breath. She's relaxed. She's beautiful. Yeah.
The most smartest.
The most. So, yeah, I'm going to think of her next time I want to run through all of my scenes with you.
Yeah. Or just next time you want to play somebody smart.
Smart.
Let's be smart.
Let's be smarter. Okay, so the thieves climb up this castle.
Like, what is the Mallory Gallery supposed to be? Like, an art gallery? Or, like, I mean, is it just a castle?
It almost looks like British jewels. Like, it almost looks like
like where the crown jewels would be stored.
That was sort of the idea, that it was such high tech. Now, they climb up using that claw. What's the claw thing that they use, like, ropes. And they have all this technical stuff. They have
and lasers.
Belts
and
lasers. Yeah, so they climb up. It's so
They're
complicated.
They're so prepared.
So prepared. They get to...
It's the only way to commit crime, really, is to be that. Whereas the Muppets have, like, banana peels and rubber chickens.
They're not right. They're not quite there yet. You know, this is, like, new for them. So...
But they're all there, and that's what matters, is doing it together.
It's true. So the robbers climb up. They have laser, like, key openers. They're opening doors. Everything's quiet perfectly. They're unscrewing glass openings and windows with all their tools. The Muppets come in and try to bite the bars open. And
animal's gonna Bite through the iron bars.
Oh, because the entire cast of Happiness Hotel is coming to help.
Yes. The entire Muppet Show is there.
And the whole show.
You got Lou Zealand. You got Beauregard. You got the deep cuts.
Yeah. Who's the one with the long hair that we love?
Janice.
Oh, Janice.
Janice is the best. She's such a hoe.
So great.
You know, she has done the entire band, The Electric Mayhem.
She has, you know.
But in a good way. They all still get along. It's fine.
No, they all get along. And they're like, and this is why they work in harmony. You know, they know each other intimately.
Maybe that's Muppets. Just it. Maybe it's just Muppet Orgy. Who knows?
It is. And then there's Beaker. And
he's always the there other for guy, a good time. Beaker and Bunsen.
And then who's the one that's the terrible cab driver?
Beauregard.
He's wonderful.
He's very silly.
Very silly. And Wolf the dog.
Rolf.
Sam the Eagle's there. Everyone's there. So they try to break in. It doesn't work out. Then the brilliant idea that...
The pizza delivery.
So
they're going to get the security guard away and they're going to distract him with this whole...
It's called Pizza Twins.
Pizza Twins. That's what it is.
And they're bringing a pepperoni pizza to the delivery guy who says he hates pepperoni pizza. It's such a funny scene. And so they're asking him what his name is. They're telling him that's the name of the order. They go through all this stuff. And as the gate opens, the Muppets rush in.
Yeah, the rest of them are going.
And it is as loud and clunky as possible. But, you know, the guard is really concerned about the pepperoni pizza. So the Muppets run in like chaos. And then the dogs, after they finish their pizza, chase after the Muppets inside the gates of the Mallory Gallery.
And they all got to shimmy up that drain pipe.
They shimmy up a drain pipe as loud and clunky as nuts as can be with barking dogs and screaming. And it's so opposite.
I was going to say, and it's the moments like that and the moments with like the bike riding scene where you go, how much fun could it have been for these creators to figure out how to make these puppets do these stupid things?
Oh my God, yeah. Oh, we didn't even talk about that. There's a bike riding scene.
Piggy and Kermit is riding bikes.
And we saw this documentary on it that almost broke them. It was like so hard to do because it was a marionette setup and mechanical engineering and everything like a race car on it. It was amazing.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, it's like we were saying, the thing with the Muppets is they didn't need special effects or green screen. They didn't have that. So they had to actually make everything happen. And that's what was the magic of the Muppets is that they're like, how are they doing this? But they're just doing it and they figured it out. And I think that must have been like, at the end of the day, they must have been really proud of themselves.
They were. Well, Chelsea, you're a really, really good crafter. Like a very good crafter. And you do crafts for birthday parties, gifts, like whatever you do in your house.
I like making stuff.
Right. And you, there is
I'm a not sense... acting right now. I need a creative outlet.
Exactly. That's why I made a fireplace.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Anyway,
where are we at?
Okay, we are at...
I was going to say, we're at the pinnacle. We're at the conflict resolution. What's happening?
We're at the cusp, the most exciting part. Okay, so they get in, they shimmy up the drain pipe. Miss Piggy is on her way too. She gets out of jail.
Oh yeah, Miss Piggy breaks herself out of jail with nothing but brute strength. She pulls those bars apart.
Pulls the bars apart.
Because she, again, feminist icon.
Icon.
She can do anything.
She just takes
as
a truck.
As is true. She can be a secretary. She can be a high fashion model.
Yep.
She can can sing and dance. Mm-hmm. She can swim.
Mm.
She can do it all. And now we're getting
a couple. She can swim in heels.
Yeah. And now we're getting a little more. She's going to drive a cement mixer.
Yeah. She drives a cement mixer and then drives a motorcycle.
That's what we're getting to. So she gets out of jail.
Yeah.
Bars open. hijacks a car, or no, I'm
hijacks
sorry,
a cement mixer. Yeah.
Cement mixer, runs out of gas. Yep. Rude.
So obnoxious.
And then she needs a ride to get to the Mallory Gallery to help her friends. Lo and behold, out of a stunt motorcycle with a matching, like, glittery helmet and suit.
Just right there. Oh, and that's what we were talking about. The magic of the Muppets is because there was something not only just watching the movies. That's there and that's wonderful, but you can also appreciate the work into it. Like, I know CGI and effects and all that stuff, we kind of take it for granted because it's just like, oh, this is supposed to be the world and here's a world with a dinosaur in it.
Yeah.
But with the Muppets, you could see every stitch sometimes in those puppets, or you could understand that the gears were working at a certain pace. And so you saw the craft while it was being performed.
And even sometimes it's in, like, not a negative way, but when you see that this Miss Piggy is suddenly a little bit bigger and you know that it's like a stuntman in a pig costume.
It's so fun.
It just makes it all more, like, it makes it a little more fun. It's, and you didn't notice that as a kid, but as a grown up, you're like, that's funny.
Like, wow, yeah. Maybe I could fit in that because I'm 5 feet, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, you're wondering how tall the stunt performer is and, you know, are they union?
Yeah.
You know, so can I do it? So, Miss Piggy comes, again, not subtle. She crashes through
the gorgeous stained glass window
at the Mallory Gallery. And at this,
on her stunt motorcycle, doing the tricks and the flips. Yes. She can do anything.
She can do it all. So then it becomes a baseball game to try and, because Charles Grodin has beautifully, tactfully caught gracefully the ball diamond, the baseball diamond.
Which was in a glove, yes. Which I don't think I'd ever noticed.
No, and I didn't realize baseball diamond was a pun.
Yeah, it's such a dumb joke.
So good. Until you said it to me today.
I know.
And I was like, wow, you're right. So then they're playing catch with it and they're throwing it to try to keep away from Charles Grodin. And so it becomes a mini baseball game with all the Muppets.
It's great.
It's so good. Miss Piggy comes in because Charles Grodin then brings out a real live gun.
Yeah, and he's going to take Kermit.
He's going to take Kermit, and a gun can shoot a person or a Muppet.
It could.
It really.
No guns.
No.
Get the guns out of
never,
here.
Never, ever guns. Never guns. And so then I also I just watched a movie recently, and it was a kid's movie, and they had a gun in it. I was like, why? Why are we doing this? Like, why do we need... I digress. I have, like, a real issue with guns in this world. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's okay. Sully got for his birthday a, like, fireman water hose squirt gun, which I'm very excited about because it's not a gun. But what else do you call it? A squirt? It's a squirt, water toy.
Yeah.
It's a squirt gun. But I'm glad that this one isn't a gun.
No, I know. Because Lewis said to me, too, he's like, Mom, why don't you like that? I was like, we don't have any in the house. We don't have any toys with it. I did tell him I was at a laser ball or, like, paintball thing, and I accidentally got shot in like, the off-free zone where you're not supposed to hurt anybody, and I burst into tears and had to be taken out. And I was an adult woman. I was 34. Yeah. And I have such a fear, and I don't think it's fun to play that game. I don't think anything's fun.
Laser tag I can get behind.
Yeah, Lewis was like, Mom, try laser tag. And I was like, I can't. No.
Yeah.
Just being chased by something.
Yeah, I don't love that either.
I'm just too, guys, I'm too sensitive. We know this. The listeners know.
Yes.
You know I'm too sensitive.
Your son gets that from you.
I know. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. He's so sensitive.
Our sensitive boy.
It is. That's so funny, too, guys. It's like, so Chelsea knows every detail of Lewis because we were co-parenting with him during COVID, and he is the most, he can't see anything scary.
No, not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit. He can't watch the full movie of the Cars Disney movie. We can only watch after Frank the Combine leaves because he's so scary. That's my kid. Okay.
Very sweet.
He won't be watching this movie because there is a gun. No, he'll watch it eventually, but he'll be scared at this part because Charles Grodin pulls out a gun on Kermit, but then Miss Piggy saves the day because she runs in through the motorcycle, knocks
the
him over.
Glass, gets the him.
Up, and then Charles Grodin... She knocks him out. Oh, no, they all fall over. And then somebody knocks Charles Grodin out with the
baseball diamond.
Yeah. And then Miss Piggy uses Muppet Kung Fu on the ladies.
Oh, the Miss Piggy Kung Fu is always the best part.
Exquisite.
We, in my house growing up, canceled the show. Hi-ya! From Muppets Take Manhattan was there all the time. That was.
You use hi-ya everywhere.
I do, don't I?
Yeah, it's great.
Hi-ya.
Yeah, no, it's great. I love that. I mean, I like it.
Don't give me guns, but give me physical hi-ya karate vibes.
Yeah, I'll punch you in the face.
Yeah.
I've
never punched anyone.
No.
I don't know. The idea of punching someone, that just sounds like it hurts my hand, and I'm not interested.
It does, I think.
But, like, yeah, I mean, there's got to be something satisfying about it. People do it.
Or, like, a punching bag.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I've done that once or twice, but I didn't. That's soft.
We have different levels of violence that we're comfortable with, yep. You know, and that's it. Okay, so then at this point, after she does her karate, the cops finally come, and there's this, like, end where Charles Grodin is saying, you know, he loves her. He's so sorry he had to do this to her. And Miss Piggy says to him, somehow along the road, I found the difference between wrong and right. You're wrong, and he's right. And she's looking at Kermie.
Oh, Kermie!
And then they're together. And the last thing I wrote is Muppets get a flight home and their luggage dropped over the USA.
Yeah. They'll parachute home.
Yeah.
No, that's more realistic, right?
And there's a happy ending. Yeah.
All the Muppets go back to America.
America. And then what? No, Columbo. We forgot Columbo talks to Kermie. Yeah. That was a scam. Columbo talks to Kermie when he's upset with Miss Piggy and tries to sell him, like, illegal watches.
That's true.
That was a great scam.
Yeah, Peter Falk's there.
Yes.
Columbo himself.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about that one is, like, even in the list of cameos at the end, they don't list him. It's, like,
they
just
don't.
This, like, little, like...
Just for us.
This little, like, popcorn nugget. And, you know, that's everybody right. At the time knew Columbo was huge.
Right.
But, like, why wouldn't you put that in the credits? Don't you have to? Isn't that a SAG law? I don't know.
I mean, this might be Muppet law.
Yeah, know? Muppet law has got different... They got their own rules.
It's all over the place. And lots of kung fu. So then at the end of the day, did they find the diamonds as well? That were in the missing necklace?
I don't know that they necessarily addressed that, but I have to assume so.
I think so. I think
I mean, if the cops are involved, they're going to work to get the rich people's property back.
Yeah, they work for the rich.
Yeah.
What were you thinking? Okay, and so then Charles is in jail. The sister's disappointed, like always. I don't even remember the end. I think I was, like, typing on this note.
I just think it's, like...
Just over.
I think, like, they get caught, the cops take them away, they fly back to America.
Great.
I don't think we see the full resolution. Okay. You can just make assumptions. You assume the cops go and find the thing.
I just want more Lady Holiday. Yeah. I just, like, want her to go back to her apartment, see what her house is like.
Oh, yeah. Her house is gorgeous.
Isn't it? So, okay. And then Kermie and Miss Piggy solidify their love. And that is how I look at relationships. You know?
True. I also like it in the middle of the movie, right after the scene with Columbo, when they're having they break the fourth wall and they're like, Piggy, you're overacting. You're really hamming it up. We forgot about that part. That part's gold.
And I...
Because she's like, please, please, please.
Yes. And then they're fighting.
They are.
And then
a Muppet fight is so good.
You were telling me.
Yeah, I'm saying the Muppet fight is... The only thing better than a Muppet fight is a full Muppet flail.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when Kermit introduces the Muppet show and just goes, yay! I know this is a podcast and they can't hear me. It's all about the flailing arms.
Her arms are flailing. Her head's going back and forth as if she has no bones. And that's the funniest part.
Oh, if only we had no bones.
Oh, if only. Oh, it'd be so much easier. Just, like, flop around. So when Miss Piggy... Okay, so they have a fight and then Miss Piggy starts crying at the end of the fight because she's so frustrated. That's what I do in fights. Again,
same.
This movie changed my life.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't get very mad. And if I do, I just end up crying.
Yeah, at the very end of the fight, I just start crying. And then you get comforted by your Kermit, hopefully, if you're lucky. And then you can, like, come to your senses.
And then you get, like, the Muppet, like, breath.
Yes. And then you hug. And then you're like, I'm sorry, too. And
then you get on with the movie.
And then you ride a bicycle, you know?
You ride a bike, yeah.
That's how love works. There's so much of this. And I really like that, you know, Piggy's happy to do crime, you know, happy to lie. And then Kermit's happy to love her the way she is.
It's true.
And he might go undercover as a fake detective. Like, that's as far as he'll go. But it's all in the pursuit of justice.
Yeah.
You know, and love.
Look, we all have to lie from time to time.
We all have to lie. When Chelsea was over, we looked at a picture, this really goofy picture of my son, that he looks just like one of the characters in Robin Hood. And we were talking about how we were so in love with Robin Hood growing up. And Robin Hood was a lying cheat, and he's hot as hell.
He was a foxy fox.
Such a foxy cartoon.
I mean, and also, like, let's not take anything away from the Maid Marian Fox. Like,
so
just remember
gorgeous.
In that one scene where they close up on her eyes, and they've got she's got the lashes. Foxy fox.
Iconic. And she has, like, she has a chiffon veil.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I would
and
probably
the pastels.
Be, yes. I'd be cast as the chicken.
I was going to say, Lady Cluck, though. She can do no wrong. And also, I did say that as, like, yes, as a kid, I probably had a crush on Robin Hood. I think now I'm more likely to go for Little John. Yeah. He's the comedic relief. He's
got a nice belly.
He's got a folk band. He's going to make me feel small.
He's going to swing me around.
Give me a bear. Oh, yeah. That part when him and Lady Clocket dancing. Oh, it's good.
I just want to be swung around all day long. Yeah. You know?
Well, and like, I always laughed at the scene in the beginning where Robin Hood grabs onto the tree and Little John grabs onto his ankles and they fling up into the tree together. That's funny. Because that couldn't actually happen.
No.
It's comedy.
I just want to be lifted all the time.
And Prince John is such a good comedic villain.
Prince, the one who's the lion?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Sir Hiss.
Guys, we're switching. Now we're talking about Robin Hood.
I was going to say, they're their own scammers.
Yeah, that's a whole nother thing. Oh, Sir Hiss is so good. It's all done so well. Yeah, so.
I like kids' movies, I guess. I don't know.
I love kids' movies.
I was going to say, maybe it's because we have them, so we have to watch them.
No.
But then sometimes they're really good.
Well, there was a thing where I was like, I couldn't wait to watch kids' movies when Lou would let me watch them. Like, he didn't care about. At one point, he wanted to watch The Little Mermaid, and Alan was like, is this your dream? Like, is this your dream? Like, sitting in your bed in all the blankets and pillows, watching Little Mermaid with your son. I was like, yes. Yes, singing. Yes.
Well, a lot of times, like, if I pick something that I want to put on that's maybe a little nostalgic for me, he won't sit through it. He'll be like, nah, I don't want to watch this. I want to watch Blippi.
Ugh.
But the other
Blippi's
day.
Blippi's a scam.
Probably, but, you know, good for him.
No,
I don't know. He entertains my kid.
Okay. But do you know about his whole thing about, like, lying to all the parents? He did live Blippi?
When it was the other actor?
No. We'll cover this another day because I haven't wanted to cover Blippi yet because he does entertain kids. So I didn't want to, like, put shame on him. But he created a huge, like, live event and then never showed up.
Oh.
Never, like, cost all these people money. Everybody waited in line and he just, like, ditched on them or had some other guy come in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he also, like, did, like, a video from years ago where he pooped on someone.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, you've seen it?
Yeah, like, they've taken it down several times, but at some point, Mikey found it when we found out about the thing. And, like, I didn't watch the whole thing. I was like, that's good. That's enough. I see what's happening. And I'm like, live your dreams. Do what you want.
Oh, I hate that guy. No, we say no Blippi in the house. And so now it's become, like, an obsession with Lewis that he goes to somebody else's house and he can watch Blippi. Like, how I used to be with, like, R-rated movies. But yeah. Anyway, hey, Blippi, love the Muppets.
What was the point of that, though?
Sometimes
the other day he sat through the new Chip and Dale movie, which was awesome. It was really fun.
Well, that
highly
was
recommend.
I saw it, too. That was one where they point the gun right at the camera.
Oh, I guess there were some guns
And I was
on
like,
that,
why? Why do you need that?
It was really fun.
It was really fun. It was really nostalgic.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, and then we went back and watched some of the Rescue Rangers, and Sully loves the theme song now. You just hear him go,
Rescue Rangers. Yeah, it's very good.
I don't think that the theme music in anything these days or ever before or since has been as good as like the late 80s, early 90s.
DuckTales? Forget it. DuckTales. In other words, woo-hoo. Oh, so good. What else?
And Tailspin, like all of those after, it was like in the same, like, it was like Darkwing Duck, DuckTales.
Yeah.
Rescue Rangers and Tailspin, I think,
so
were the
good. So
were like,
good.
Were, it was like the after school chunk on whatever
so
channel.
So good. So good. In Kids Incorporated, even, like, let's go way back. I loved Kids Incorporated. I liked it more than Mickey Mouse Club.
It also goes back to like the jingles and commercials and everything then. Like, give me that.
People listen
the
to
Big
commercials.
Red Freshness, Big Red, the Mentos, the Juicy Fruit.
Yeah, double mint gum.
Uh-huh. All, I guess all the gum ones.
Yeah, man. Give me the moment of fun. I don't know.
With double mint gum. Yeah.
For the light man. For the right man.
There it is. The light man for the right man.
For the right man. Oh my God, yeah.
Well, I see, and Juicy Fruit. Juicy Fruit is gonna move ya. It's just sweet. It gets right to ya. Juicy Fruit. It's gonna move ya.
Yes. This is why we need more triple threats on this podcast because I have not sung with anyone else.
Because we will sing you some jingles.
Jingles. Well, also because you never skipped commercials. You weren't allowed to skip commercials.
Yeah, you couldn't.
So it was like, it had to be good or you're going to be hated.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, and the Muppet songs in the Muppet movies were incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's also amazing. So we're watching this and it's just the opening shot of Kermit and Fozzie Bear, and I start to tear up right away because the Muppets always make me cry, and it's a beautiful orchestra song, and I'm like, this is unheard of. Like, just the amount of work in this, the amount of man hours, it's gorgeous. And it, that, like, the Miss Piggy, the na-na-na, Miss Piggy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it.
It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And, like, and Kermit's got that great, like, Fred Astaire putting on his hat and tails number.
Oh my God, yeah.
And the big opening number with all the humans dancing with the Muppets. You got Sweetums there.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It's so good.
And then the Happiness Hotel. How does that song go?
Welcome home to the Happiness Hotel. Oh, and then I was mentioning that at the end of that, when like the number ends and then Sam the Eagle sticks his head out and just says, "You are all weirdos."
Yeah.
And that's what I say to my kid pretty much daily.
Yeah, that's like the basis of our parenting.
Yeah, you know? It's like, because kids are weird.
They're so weird. And it's said with love, you know?
It is.
Just like that eagle, that scary, scary eagle. He made me nervous as a kid. I was like, he could peck an eye out.
Well, I mean, and also he would definitely be a Republican. So yeah. I get it.
So many things.
He's like so patriotic and all about the American way. You know, like he'd just be like, capitalism, yay.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, okay, so for the movie, what was your favorite scam out of all the scams we covered? What was your favorite part?
My favorite scam is Piggy pretending to be Lady Holiday.
Yes.
It's just good.
Yeah, mine was her being a synchronized swimmer.
That
moment of like a fashion model saying like that really was a scam to herself because it was in her daydream.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah. Oh no, but I loved it when she broke into the house. That was
That's part of that scam to me because it's like the whole pretending to be Lady Holiday and like you know because it starts in the office
and she commits to it.
She commits. Kermit believes her. Of course he does. I believe her. And I know she's lying.
Yes. Well, all you can do, too, is hope that if you're somebody to break into a house, that the people won't mind. You know, I mean, that's really the best case scenario.
You're just like, oh, look, some excitement for the evening. Just like picking a frog.
I would love to break in and enter, and it'd be a delight for the people I see, you know, not to be
just like, I'm not here to cause any trouble. I have to scam my boyfriend.
I have to impress this. Actually, my aunt did that. Not breaking it.
Doesn't went to someone's house and said, can I pretend I live here?
Kind of.
I'm trying to impress
someone. Okay, so she lived, so this was in the 60s.
I mean, we've all probably done some version of this.
Of course.
We're all pretending to be somewhere
else. You get off at a subway stop early or whatever. But she was in the 60s. She was an unemployed actress, a little too similar to myself. But she had $0. Okay, it's sounding very close. But she lived in this really fancy apartment building in the maid's quarters, they called it. It was like the old maid's quarters. And it was actually like probably what apartments are now in New York City. But at the time, it was just a small closet that she shared with somebody. There wasn't even a real kitchen. There was like a bathroom in the hallway. So really, she rented a closet and that was her apartment. So when men would come and pick her up for dates, they'd arrive to this apartment building and she'd come down the stairs and they'd be like, oh my God, this is so fancy. And they didn't know that. And she'd never invite them back because she was like a good girl, but also because she had no space.
Yeah, she was like, you don't fit in my apartment.
There's what? Five other people in there. Yeah. Which I guess is a scam. A lot of teenagers, you know, I'm like performers pull in Brooklyn too. You know, we all live in lofts or we did on top of each other. But she did that and was like, it was the best thing ever. Now, I don't think it got her anywhere in her life, but she felt good doing it. You know, it gave her that boost.
Well, it was like you probably get to live in a nice neighborhood then. That's something.
And
she
felt glamorous.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of my childhood of like, no, I don't have what I want, but I'm going to fucking act like I do. Okay.
Fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it. I love it. Yeah. It's the best. So yes, Miss Piggy's my favorite. I do love a Columbo with a watch. I really loved it. Columbo's just like gets down, wants to be friends with Kermit.
He's doing a very serious acting moment too.
Serious.
He is acting the only way we think he knows how.
Yeah, his bread and butter.
Yeah.
And then he pulls out a bunch of fake watches. That was one of my favorite moments.
Yeah,
I was
that's
like,
good.
God. And the visual of it just like clunking around. The Muppets did such a good job with like props and weight of things, like things dropping, things falling, things smashing into things. It's such a funny thing that you don't see with people. Like people can only run into so many buildings, but the Muppets, you're just pieces of fabric. They're just thrown and smashed and bonked and noses caught in elevators. And it's so good.
And like the kink of that, because Gonzo's is like, you should try this. And you're like, I'm not going to kink shame you, but that's weird.
Yes, it was very phallic. It was so funny. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess his whole nose is. His whole relationship with Camilla the chicken, I don't understand it. I'm here for you. You guys love each other.
Yeah. And isn't a rat involved with the chicken too?
No, he's just like, Rizzo's just Gonzo's like best friend. Okay. I mean, I don't know, maybe.
I thought he had a couple chicken girlfriends. But you know what?
I mean,
it
wouldn't surprise me.
Who knows?
As far as I know, no. But that I haven't seen it all. That often, I've seen most of
recently,
it.
Yeah, within the last hour.
Yeah, you know, if like, it's like, it wasn't in Caper, it's not in Muppets Take Manhattan. Those are the two I probably know best.
And then, of course, we never talked about like the two old men that were commentating the whole time.
Oh, yes, Statler and Waldorf.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Iconic. And you don't.
Those old homos.
So sweet, so old.
Happy
so
pride.
Horrible. Happy pride.
Like, I'm just like, nobody, like, no two straight men are that snarky.
No.
And like funny about it.
Yeah. And do a good job.
Yeah.
You know?
They're really good hecklers.
They try. It's so funny. Well, I think we covered it.
I think we did. I think that movie is A-plus Gamwell material right there.
Exact. And really the being of me, like the what do you call
it? The core of who you are.
The core of who I am and how I operate in life.
Yeah, I'm a Muppet living in a human world. I hear you.
Yeah, and it's tough, you know?
Oh, at one point, I'm like, I guess I learned that there are chaos Muppets and order Muppets.
Huh.
Which I think is very interesting. So like,
straight men
are
crazy.
Yeah. Mm. So you've got like the animals and the Swedish chefs and the piggies who are like chaos. Mm-hmm. And you've got like the Kermit and the Scooter and the Rolf who are like very order Muppets.
Oh, what about the Muppet that the one I love is like the person in the costume that's in that big shaggy like.
Sweetums.
Oh
chaos.
My God. Chaos. Absolute but chaos. He also is trying really hard. He's yes. like, please include me.
They're all so sweet.
They've all got such good hearts. Sweet. They're so sweet. Oh, and I did say there's an iconic moment when Miss Piggy in the swimming scene is on a lily pad and everyone's swimming around her. And I think that is just like my fantasy in life. Like if I could just be on a lily pad and people swim around me, like I've made it.
Let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen.
This summer in the Astoria pool. We're gonna
come on,
wear
listeners.
You're gonna wear a glittery swimsuit.
On a lily pad.
If nobody else, me, Sully and Lou. Swimming around you.
They'll be like, mom.
I know. They will not cooperate.
No. But it will be part of it. It'll be part of it. You know, it'll be perfect.
In your mind, it'll be that. Yeah, and that's what matters.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Did we go off the rails a little bit?
We probably
We're
did.
We're just a couple of chaos Muppets.
We are genuinely chaos Muppets. Guys, let us know what is your favorite Muppet movie? Did you watch this? What did you think? I always want people to watch and respond. And we always have our hot tip hotline, which we haven't had many phone calls recently. And I love a phone call because I want, you know, it's like we're connecting. And that number is 347-509-9414. And I want to play our next mailbag. We got some great emails. We got some messages, Instagram messages, Twitter messages, but I want to have some phone calls too because I want to connect, you know?
Talk Muppets.
It's tough times.
Tell us what Muppet you are.
Yeah. And Chelsea, where can people find you if they want to see all your gorgeous stuff on social media? Your Instagram handle?
Yeah, let's see. I'm like, is it Chels Whitelock or Chelsea Whitelock? First of all, I'm Chelsea with a Y.
Yes, which so I had wrong yep. the first
That's okay, everybody does. Yeah. Yes, well, because we also live in New York, so it should be Chelsea, like the hotel or the neighborhood. Yeah. Chelsea with a Y, Chelsey, Whitelock, Whitelock.
Great.
It was really fun when I had platinum blonde hair and I had white locks. I felt like it was really apropos.
You're going to get there.
I know.
We're going to get there.
I'm going to be blonde again.
You know?
By like next summer, we're both going to be just the blonde.
In 2 weeks, you could be blonde. We'll see how it goes.
I need a little length there.
All right. Amazing. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Jesse. And thank you to our Patreon patrons. We have some more really exciting episodes coming out. Bye.
Bye.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.